But let's begin. Let's discuss some of the more sensitive issues of Kibud Avim. This week's parasha, this is a very good topic for Kibud Avim. Rashi, the long Rashi, says that Mechiras Yosef, part of the equation of Mechiras Yosef includes the fact that Yaakov Avinu was being punished by having his ben zukunim taken away from him for 22 years because he separated himself from his father for 22 years. We discussed some of the details yesterday about that, but let's discuss some of the inyanim. We see the choymer hadavar of kibud avoim. It's a double-edged sword. Mitzad echad leman yarichun yomecha, umitzad sheni, the Torah shows an incredible punishment for not being mekayim the mitzvah of kibud avoim. The only other mitzvah that has a bracha of bracha in the Torah of arichas yomim is shluchakan. But there's no punishment. I can't see par. If a person sees the tzipor and you want to eat the eggs or the chicks, okay, and you do it the right way. What does the Torah say? Reward. Let's say you do it the wrong way. Let's say you go and you take the aim al habanim. Does it say anywhere in the Torah there's going to be divine retribution? Doesn't say.
If you don't get an extended life, isn't that a punishment?
If you don't get an extent, I'm sure what that means.
Just get what you gotta get.
I don't know, but it's interesting is that there is this equation that there are two mitzvahs in the Torah which is a blessing of arichas yamim.
If a person walks away from kain sefer, is that a bit less?
No, l'chora not. L'chora, the kanti was a big sugya. The many svarim written on the whole, and the pashas is that the mitzvah is only triggered if you want the eggs. If you don't want the eggs, you don't want the chicks, there's no mitzvah. There's no mitzvah. That's why it's very problematic to devise a way that people make a parnasa. Not trying to take away anyone's parnasa. People make a parnasa by enabling people to be mekayim
that's
the mitzvah of kan sipar. It's like, you know, the...
It's like shchita. You don't want to eat meat.
Exactly. You know, it's like the aguda, the sima shas. At 9:30, we were on the schedule. We will have spontaneous dancing. Spontaneous dancing at 9:30. Spontaneous. It's on the calendar. So Kan Sipar, you have an advertisement in the advertisement. Contact so and so in order to enable you to mekayim in the midst of Shluch HaKain. Excuse me. There's no way. The whole Mahus of Shluch HaKain is Ki Yikore. We just scheduled an appointment. What time is good for you? 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock. I have a slot here for you at 3 o'clock. You want to take it to be mekayim ki yikore? When should we put down spontaneous dancing? It's funny. I mean, so there are loopholes, legal loopholes, technicalities. Azoy. Okay, ain't no chenami. I'm not saying that it's who am I to say? In any event. There is. It's we have over here two mitzvahs. Kibud Avoim and Shluch HaKain. Both in the Torah promise reward. L'man yadichun yomecha. However, what happens if a person fails to be mechabed his parents? Well, the Torah says pretty severe things in this week's parasha. Tit for tat. 22 years. Let's say you see on the Kan Sipar, the two birds, the mother and the chicks, and you want the eggs, and you take the eggs and you violate, you do not send away the mother. Does it say anywhere in the Torah that there will be divine retribution for causing the mother tzar? Doesn't say anywhere. Will there be? Of course. I mean, you didn't do a mitzvah. So it's included in all of the mitzvahs that there's schar v'oinish. But the Torah doesn't highlight the punishment for not doing it the right way. Only kibud avoim in this week's parasha does the Torah highlight. If you don't do kibud avoim, look what happens. Yaakov Avinu was not mekayim kibud avoim for 22 years, and he was punished for 22 years. So
is
just yeah. So every mitzvah there's sar balechaim, but the Torah, of course, there's sar balechaim. But the Torah does not. The Torah does not openly tell you what the punishment is. Just like every single mitzvah, there are many mitzvahs in the Tayag mitzvahs, and if you don't do the mitzvah the correct way, if you don't do the mitzvah, or you don't do the right, you don't do it properly, we have emunah pshuta, there will be punishment. Does the Torah need to go? Does the Torah come along and tell you you're going to be punished? No! It's part of the general emunah pshuta And he mamins that there is reward and punishment for everything that you do. Ki but avo emen shlucha kana unique in that the Torah goes out of its way to say, Leman yarichun yomecha. So many people equate the two. Chazal say, you don't have a mitzvah kala and a mitzvah chamura. Shlucha kana is a mitzvah kala. You cannot possibly prepare for the mitzvah. It comes upon you by chance. And kibud av ve'em is a very difficult, involved mitzvah. And mikotze elakotze leman yarichun yomecha, there is reward of arichas yomim. So many people will equate the two. No, don't equate the two, because when it comes to kibud av ve'em, the Torah tells you the negative. If you don't do kibud av ve'em, you're going to suffer. This week's parasha, you can't ignore what it says in this week's parasha, 22 years. Mitzad sheni, when it comes to shluch hakein, if you don't do shluch hakein, you come across the mother hovering over its chicks, and you decide, I want the chicks, and you take the chicks, and you don't care about the mother, you did an avera. No, are you going to be punished? Well, of course you're going to be punished, because they are no different than any other avera. But the Torah doesn't go and explicitly hammer down and say, you're going to be punished. So the end result is that the mitzvah of kibud av ve'em is in a league to itself. It cannot even be equated with the mitzvah of shluch hakein, because shluch hakein does not include the negative. Only kibud av ve'em is there a revelation in the Torah to the negative as there is to the positive. Okay, now let's go to some interesting questions. Some interesting, you said this about... What? Oh, so you're asking a very good question. Yosef, so you can argue, you can say that it wasn't his fault. Look, all the Mefarshim, they struggle so hard with Yaakov. Why was Yaakov punished? It wasn't his fault. He had no choice. His parents told him, get married. So he goes there, and he has to work for 14 years. He was tricked seven years, and then he needs to make a parnasa also. What did he do wrong? What did he do wrong? He has to travel. I mean, it takes 2 years to travel. It took him, he has 12 children. He has to stop off every so often to buy them toys. Toys R Us on the way home. It took him 2 years to go home. What do you want from the poor guy? Chazal, okay, they discussed this. The bottom line is 22 years. Where do you have such a thing? Yeah, you have with the Torah is Megala in your own lifetime, Mamish, Mida Keneged Mida, it's an incredible thing. Even in situations where people were punished, you can see the Mida Keneged Mida, Bidiyuk. This story about Yosef is an incredible story. Mida Keneged Mida, Bidiyuk. 22 years for 22 years. Yeah. In your own lifetime, in rapid succession. 20 years. There's no other mitzvah like this. There's no other mitzvah like this in the whole Torah that you have such a thing like this.
By Yaakov Avinu, by the 33 words that he said to Paro, also, and he said,
Ma'advaram, and he lost 33 years because of that. Good point. Okay, you have to think about that. Think about that. And Echanam, yes, that's a good, very good point you made. Okay, you have to think about it. But you have over here the positive and the negative. Okay, now let's use this as a springboard to discuss. We have not that much time. A couple of interesting questions about kibud av ve'em. Let's say, this is a very common shaila. Let us say your parent says, I have an enemy. I had a big fight with this person in shul. We don't see eye to eye. We got into a very nasty fight today in shul. When you come to shul next week, when you come back from yeshiva, I don't want you to talk to him.
Like
I don't...
McCoy's in the half
fields. What?
The McCoy's in the half fields.
And then you say what?
McCoy's
and the Hatfields. I never heard of this before. I don't know what you're talking about. I never heard of this before. Okay, Kamen Shiloh. A person's father had a fight with another person. They had a very ugly fight. Very ugly. Whether it's about money, whether it's about whatever you can imagine. And the father says, you know, this person caused me a lot of pain. Caused me a lot of tsar. I command you, I'm your father. Kibud av ve'em. Don't you dare talk to him. Don't have anything to do with him now, with his children, v'chulu v'chulu. What is the halacha? Is the child allowed, m'chuyiv, allowed, not allowed, to listen to his father when the father says, I don't want you to talk to so-and-so?
Why does he have to talk to him?
Is the person himself allowed to say that to himself?
We're not asking what he's allowed to. This is Maisa Shahoya Kahaya. This happens all the time. Whatever the father, this is what happened. The Shaila comes before Rabbi. Rabbi, My father got into a big fight. He's very, very bitter. Whether he's right or wrong is none of my business. How he's controlling his emotions is none of my business. The bottom line is, after everything is said and done, he commanded me that if I go, I should not have anything to do with this people. And you know, ordinarily when I come home from vacation, whatever it is, I see him, I talk to him, I schmooze with him, I say hello to him. It's going to be very uncomfortable now for me. My father said I should not talk to him. What is the halacha? What is the halacha? So it's not so simple. It's not, none of these questions have really simple answers. As we said yesterday, a lot of kibud av va'em is seichel. It's not something that there are too many exceptions to the rule where you can even make rules. But generally, the father is in essence asking you to be oiver on an avera of leisisne esachicha bilvavecha. When you do not talk to someone who you ordinarily talk to and you distance yourself from him, this is either an outright violation of leisisne esachicha bilvavecha, or it's abizrayu, or it's a subcategory, it is a form of the avera. Your father, in essence, is asking you to be oiver on an avera of leisisne esachicha bilvavech. If you ordinarily you would talk to him, and now by not talking to him, you're creating a certain new environment. So you're not mechuyev, you're not allowed. You're not mechuyev to talk to the. You don't listen to your father. In this case, you do not have to, and even not allowed to listen to your father. However, like we said before, there are too many exceptions to the rule. A person should maybe use seichel, and the seichel is, so just don't appear. Don't go out of your way to knock on his door and say, hey, I'm back, how you doing? You don't have to do that. That's not expected. Maybe don't daven in that shul, that Shabbos. Don't appear. If the situation presents itself where you pass him by in the street and then by not saying hello to him, you will be fulfilling what your father told you. Ordinarily, I would say hello to him. And now because my father told me, not because of the big fight, I'm going to go and not say hello to him. You're not allowed to do that. There's no mitzvah. It says, ish imo v'aviv tirohu. The S shapsoy sai tishmoiru. Chazal Rashi and Chumash. Kulchem chayavim bichvoidi. If your father says, my son, please go to the store and buy me a pack of cigarettes on Shabbos, right? So Shabbos morning. Oh, I need a cigarette. Can you please go buy me a pack of cigarettes? If you go to the store and you buy on Shabbos and you machal Shabbos deraisa, figure out how it'll be a deraisa, you machal Shabbos deraisa to buy your father a pack of cigarettes and you light it up for him and he smokes, will you mekayim the mitzvah of kibud av va'em? You also chayev misa, okay? Forget about that. Put that aside. You go in style. At least when you come to Shemayim, kibud av va'em, I have a zechus. No, it cost me my life. So no, anyway, I'm going to go. I go in style, right? Do you at least get the mitzvah of kibud av va'em? I was mekayim kibud av va'em, and I also was mechal Shabbos. I'm going to die for chil Shabbos, but I'm going to go to Olam Haba for kibud av va'em. So the pashas is not. The pash of the drasha ish imo v'yov tirov yeshav sosai tishmor means that if kulam chayovim bichvoidi, both you and your father are obligated to mechabed Hashem, that takes away the mitzvah. There is no mitzvah. It's not that, okay, I get credit, but I'm going to suffer as well. No, you don't even get credit. The pashtus is you don't even get credit. The mitzvah does not exist. So by not speaking to this person, you're not getting credit. You're getting nothing. Your father told you to be in violation of a halacha. Your father has no right to tell you to violate a halacha. This is the general rule. Now, again, don't go out of your way to greet that person, especially in your father's presence, to give your father agmas nefesh. A person, many of the inyanim of kibud av va'em is, you got to be smart. You got to find solutions not to get involved in conflict. But when it comes down to it, there's a very common, very, very common problem where parents have issues with other people in the community. There are always people that are fighting over money or whatever it can possibly be, and then the children, what, and the parents say to the children, they do say or they don't say, they do, the child is what should be the attitude of the children, and what happens if the father explicitly says, don't you dare, don't go talk to him, don't say hello to him. The halach is the father has no right. He's telling you to do an aveira. And your person and child should not listen. There is no kibud av v'aim, but, big but, with the big capital letters, be smart. Don't look to create situations where it will flare up, where the problem will flare up. Now, there's another element to this, to appreciate this halacha, and that is the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. There's another reason why there's no mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. Even if you'll say it's not an avera, let's make you have to construct a case where it would not be avera not to talk to the person, and that is the kibud av v'aim is only when a child gives the father direct pleasure. You give the father food, you give the father clothing. You give the father, you stand up for him. You have reverence. You don't sit in his seat. Where the honor you're giving him is by not doing something to someone else or to do something to someone else, where the father gets no benefit, that's not kibud av v'aim. To be mekayim kibud av v'aim, the father or the mother has to receive something. They have to receive a pleasure. If the pleasure is, it's not really called a pleasure. If what the father gets is, my son did not talk to somebody. What have you given your father? That is not called the father got. That's just called a shev al tase. Something did not happen. The child did not speak to so and so. That benefit did not come to the father. That's not called the gain. You have to define kibud av v'aim in dollars and cents, not dollars, but in terms of, is there a gain to the father or a loss to the father? By you not talking to somebody, that doesn't affect the father in a direct way. That is not called kavod. That is not called mora. Kavod and mora are things that you do directly to your father. When I'm not having a conversation with someone else, I'm not talking to my father. I'm not talking. That's called a benefit that he knows in his mind that I didn't talk to my father. It's not necessarily the best example, but that is not
good. You cannot contradict.
No, directly him. I cannot have a conversation. Ishmael is only when you're in direct conversation with your father or to people about your father. Let's go to that question now. What are the parameters of expressing a different opinion about something? Let's talk about, okay, who are you going to vote for? Elections coming up, who are you going to vote for? So the father says, I'm voting for candidate A. I'm going to vote for a Democrat. Okay, father. So the son says, and then there's another person, and who are you going to vote for? I'm voting for the Republican. That is a violation of kibud av v'aim, an open violation. Where someone, when someone says to your father, who are you voting for? I'm voting for Trump. Who are you voting for? I'm voting for DeSantis. Who are you voting for? In front of your father to say that, this is an open violation of Moira.
He didn't tell you not to vote.
You're contradicting your father.
It's okay to
your
do
father it. Is, ex- you do it. Your father is expressing an opinion who is a better candidate. And then you are expressing a different opinion that contradicts your father in his presence. Question. There is no question that example appears to be Osir min HaTorah l'chol hadeyos. Shocking, right? Yeah. Who are you voting for? Your father is sitting in shul. Talking to us in shul. Who are you voting for?
In his presence.
100%. What happens if your father now leaves this makom, and then the other person, who are you voting for? Are you allowed to voice an opinion that is contradictory to your father, express a different opinion? This is a machloikis apoiskim. Okay, I'll give you a long list of names over here. Machloekas Apoiskim, some said that to contradict your father, a different to express a different opinion, not in his presence, is a Machloekas Apoiskim. That is an Isur Doraisa of Moira. Moira means do not contradict him. Now, there is an exception to this regarding learning Torah. The only time it is categorically forbidden to contradict your father are Milei de Alma. Candidates, political candidates, opinions about what is a better solution to a problem, things which are, you know, which are basically contradict, mutually exclusive, for sure, different opinions. But what about a halacha? What is the halacha in this situation? The father says, mutter. And you, then they ask the son, and what do you say?
I don't use it.
What do you say? And the son is a qualified rabbi. We're not talking about a person, the son that doesn't know what he's talking about. We're talking about a person that a Talmud Chacham. So is the son allowed to contradict his father? Here is a machlekes. You go one notch up. Some poskim say it's permitted to contradict your father in learning, afilu in his presence. What happens if your father walks out of the room and then they ask you, and what do you say? Is it mutter or aser? Lichatchila, you can say, you can contradict your father. In learning, in Torah, it's in the category of kulam chayavim bichvoidi. If it's a matter of Talmudic knowledge, halacha, piskei halacha, Torah, you are entitled, for the honor of Hashem, to voice your opinion. Not lichatchila in the presence of your father, but not in his presence. Vehoraya, the Rambam. What?
In other words, a halacha is a machlekes between paiskim, and your father holds.
Let's say you're both paiskim. No. Let's say. That's too. You have to come up, explain the case. And how do we pass on halacha lemaisa? And you're entitled. You're paisek. You're entitled to voice your opinion.
You see it in writing.
There are people. You go ask a rabbi a shaila. Very common. You ask a rabbi a shaila. And the rabbi will you know, you can say a svara like this, svara like this. You have a certain case of kashrus. You have a spoon that fell into a pot. It's not necessarily one answer. And you have a father who's qualified, the father who's studied the halachas, who knows the halachas, is a poisek. He's a rav in his own right. And a person comes and asks the question to the father. The person, let's say you have the father runs on a talk, very calm. The father runs on a talk, having a conversation. And then someone comes and says, I have a shaila for the rabbi, for you and your father. For your father and you, and the person presents the question, and the father says the halacha is that it's osur. Now the son knows the halachas as well. The son has smicha. The son's also a rav, and the son feels that he feels differently. He feels that, so the son is not allowed to say lechatchila in the presence of his father, I disagree with my father. I hold that it's mutter. Some poskim can say no. In Torah, you're allowed to. Torah. You're allowed to kind of voice your opinion, but certainly, according to everyone, after the father leaves, the son is allowed to say a contradictory halacha opinion on the halacha, not in the father's presence. And the proof to this is all over the Gemara. All over the Gemara do we find fathers and sons arguing. The Rambam quotes his father, and he says, "But I disagree." Okay, the Tor quotes the Rosh, and he openly says, I disagree with my father, the Rosh. He disagrees. The Tor openly disagrees with his father. The Tor's father was the Rosh. And the Rambam disagrees with his father. How could they do that? It was Shaloi Bifanov. It's in writing. The Rambam's father was no longer living. Maimon. The Rambam quotes his father, and he says, I disagree. Okay, likewise, the Rosh and the Tor, it's Shaloi Bifanov. The Gemara, there are many different situations. You study the names, Rabbi Yossi, and this one and that one. And lo and behold, the father and son, they disagree because it was Shaloi Bifanov. What about Bifanov? One of the basic halachas of Moira is you're not allowed to contradict your father. And when it comes to learning that prohibition applies only, Lechatchila Bifanov. Shaloi Bifanov is mutter. Mile de Alma. It is categorically forbidden to contradict your father in his presence. Shaloi Bifanov Lechatchila, you also, my father said one thing, my father said that Trump is a better candidate. I have nothing to say. You can vote wherever you want, privately. But to publicly voice your opinion, a different opinion, your father made his opinion publicly known, and you want to contradict that is not permitted. Which is, you know, it's something to think about. How these type of situations happen once in a while. Okay, let's go to another interesting question. Svardim a very big problem. Svardim have a very, very big problem because Svardim have a custom. You're not allowed to call your father by his first name. We discussed this yesterday in his presence. What about now, let's say you're in a room. This is a very common case. You're in a room and your father is present. And let's say your father's name is Avraham. And you're in a room and in walks your best friend whose name also happens to be Avraham. And you say, good morning, Avraham. How are you? Are you allowed to do that? So what's the problem? Why not? Why not? Because your father's name is also Avraham. He's in the same room. And basically, it's like Marisayin. There may be someone in the room that does not know that the person who walked in, his name is Avraham, but does know that your father's name is Avraham. And when you say, good morning, Avraham, they're going to think that you are speaking to your father. And even if they'll figure it out very quickly, still, even for that one moment, there is a degree of disrespect. So the halacha in this case, it's mutter. Because the name Avraham is such a common name, you don't have to worry about it. If someone walks into the room and you say, good morning, Avraham, and your father's name is Avraham, and he's sitting right there, it's not your problem. It's the listener's problem. That's what we're coming to. We're coming to that in a second. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. However, the halacha is, this is a psak halacha, everyone. Let's say the father has a very real, rare name. For some reason, in this sefer, this wonderful sefer, by Rabbi Moshe Lieber, he has an obsession throughout the sefer that a rare name is Shaltiel. He always uses that as the example. Shaltiel. Did anyone know someone by the name of Shaltiel?
No.
Okay, I guess it's a rare name. Okay, person as father's name is Shaltiel. A very rare name. Shaltiel, that's the name of this person's father. That's the example that he gives. Person's name is Shaltiel. And lo and behold, lightning strikes. He has his best friend whose name is also Shaltiel. And in walks into his father is in the room, and in walks into the room his best friend. Good morning, Shaltiel. Aser. It's aser to do that. Why is it aser to do that? Because it's a rare name. And because it's a rare name, it's very likely there's a person in the room who knows that your father's name is Shaltiel, because how many people have that name and would never imagine in the wildest imagination that your best friend also has the name Shaltiel, and will think that when you say good morning Shaltiel that you're referring to your friend, not your father. So if your father has if it's a weird name, then it is Osir. Okay, that's the basic halacha. Now let's go to Sfardim. Ashkenazim have a very big hakpada. You don't name a child after a living grandparent. Okay? Everybody said that. We have a hakpada. You do not name a child after a living. Why is that so? Why don't you name... Now, the Sfardim do. The Sfardim have put themselves... Okay, everybody said. The Sfardim put themselves in a very difficult situation because what happens when the grandfather is home... You have the middle generation. The father is home, and the grandfather comes to visit. The grandfather comes to visit, and you want to ask your son to do something. How are you able to address your child?
Junior.
So let's say the person's father's name is Moshe, and the greatest cover you can give your father in your lifetime is to name your child after him. Moshe, that's what Sfardim do. Sfardim name their children after a living grandfather. That's the goal. That's the cover. That's the expectation. And you do so. This creates a very, very difficult problem because now what happens if the father is home? The grandfather comes for Shabbos. The grandfather, they move in for Yom Tov, for Pesach. And every time you want to refer to your son, you got a problem. Because you cannot call your son by his first name in the presence of your father. Oh, but you'll say it's a common name. Okay, so even though obviously a common name, we just concluded it's permitted because everyone knows what we're referring to, but it's still not a good. First of all, it'll lead to a slippery slope. It's inevitable that your father is going to have a very weird name,
change,
and
change,
Your father, it's going to happen that your father has a name like Shaltiel, and you're going to name your son Shaltiel, and you're going to have at your Suda Shabbos, your father's going to come, and your son's at the table, and you're going to have some other friends, visitors at your Shabbos table, and your little boy is going to be misbehaving, and you're going to say Shaltiel. If you do that one more time, I'm going to throw you out. And the guests are going to think, "Whoo! That's how you talk to your shver. That's how you talk to your shver. You do that one more time, you're out."
Change the name a little bit.
And it's all in a name. That's not a nice thing to change a name. You give it. Chizki. You call him Chizki. That's a b'dieved. That's not a nice thing to call Meishala Chizki. You give a name, and also you have to understand the principle that this is across the board. You have a policy amongst the entire kihila. This is what's going to happen very, very often. You're going to have, you'll tell, well, only follow the Ikar Hadin. The Ikar Hadin is, if it's a common name, it's no big deal. Okay, fine. But let's say it's not a common name, then Taco, it's also, and there's no excuse, it's also. So what's going to happen, Vayihi Hayam, when your Shver comes to Yisud HaShabbos, and your child has that, you named your child, and you talk like that, and the guest is, he says to him, says, "You do that one more time, I'm throwing you out of here." And the people at the table really think you're referring to your father-in-law. You have just violated a very severe prohibition of kabed as ish imo v'aviv tirohu, which has a severe violation of, look what happened to Yosef. So is this the proper thing to do? It is for this reason Ashkenazim are extremely makbid not to name a child after a living grandparent. Because if you're going to do it, oh, this is an exception. Because the living grandparent is in ICU in some remote part of the world and will never come to visit for Shabbos. Once you make one exception, before you blink, you'll make another 20 exceptions. And before you turn around, you will have exactly this situation right and left where you're going to make statements and people are going to be, "Ooh, what happened over here?" And that is something that is disrespectful. Ashkenazim, a makbid b'hakpada gemura, not to name a child after a grandparent under no condition whatsoever. A svardim, they do it, ma'isim b'chol yom, and this is the goal, this is the biggest covet. However, they have a very big problem on their hands. And they have to be, so what they do is what Rabbi Neiman said, which is not a good thing either, is don't call your child by his regular name, which is, who says that's the right thing to do? The name, people say, your name is your name. It's a very big bracha that you should be called by your full name. So yeah, his name is Avraham, you call your kid Avi. Your kid is Moshe, you call him Moshela. Or you change the name slightly, and that solves the problem. Okay, it's a solution, but is it really a solution ideally? And is it always going to be a solution in every single case? Will it inevitably lead to a case of disrespect, the violation of halacha? Yes, it will. So Svardim, they have to be on guard. This is a serious matter. This is not a small thing over here.
Ashkenazim, the same name. A friend comes in with the same name as your father.
So you're right. It's a problem. And so we said, Clark, if it's a common name,
yeah.
Mutter. If it's not a common name, it's Osser. V'zehu, it's Osser. So then you have to be careful not to call your father, your friend by the name. If your friend is named Shaltiel, and your father's name is Shaltiel, and your friend comes for Suda Shabbos, you can't refer to your friend by the name Shaltiel. It's a Shulchan Aruch. Mama Shulchan, you're not allowed to do that. It's disrespectful. And Svardim have this problem every single day. Svardim, they get married when they're very, very young. So Baruch Hashem, their grandparents, they live many, many years, and they're all very well connected, as a family should be, and this can be a real problem. And it is for this reason that Ashkenazim don't do this. They know. I know someone, he already passed away, this person. They have to live. They don't. I know someone who's he passed away, this person, and he had a grandson was born, and he begged. He's a real Ashkenazi, a little bit different, you know, a little bit different. He didn't follow all the rules of society. He was a little bit of his own person. And he really begged his son to name the grandchild after him. Bechayev. He begged him. I'm not makbid, beg you. So the son is a real shtaka ben Torah. He went to his Rosh Hashiva. I forgot the details. I remember who he went to even. And he told him, "Are you Ashkenaz? Is your father, are you Sardim? any Bukharian, Syrian, any variety? Is there any epis? Give me something to work with. Some variety. Nothing. Pure Ashkenaz. His father really wants you to do this? Yeah, my father, he's a little bit different. He really wants. He told us, it's osur. No heter. Don't listen to your father. This is the Rashi told him. Don't listen to your father. In Ashkenaz, we don't do this. Vizehu, don't listen to your father. He was disappointed, but that's how.
I think it's much nicer.
We just said there's a violation of halacha.
I'd like to see what Rabbi Avodah Yosef says about this problem.
But he's a Sephardi.
I'd like to see what he says about the problem.
You don't need him to say anything. The Sephardim do this all the time. But when the Sephardim, they have to be careful. When the father comes to the house, Sephardim, we just said this.
It's not a problem.
By the Sephardim, it's not a problem. It is a problem. That's suggesting it is a problem. The Sephardim, they have to be careful. When their parent comes and their child is there and the child has the same name as the parent, especially if it's not a common name, the father is not allowed to address his child by that his name. This is Shulchan Aruch. I'm not making this up.
You have to see what the Sephardim say about it.
The Sephardim, they agree to this. They don't agree with this Shulchan Aruch. They just, when that situation occurs, you be very careful not to address your children by their name. What's the problem? There's no disagreement. It's just a matter of being on guard. It's something very difficult to be on guard.
I see it called Yom. I don't know. They all seem to be work out. They're all calling their kids by their
name. Okay, let's go to the next. Now, yes, okay, a variety, variation of the Shaila, very interesting Shaila. Let's say here's a bizarre question, but I'll show you how it's not so bizarre. Abayisai, please. Let's say your mother's name is, you're going to laugh, your mother's name is Mazal Tov. You ever hear someone have that name?
Mazal
Tov. Let's say your mother has a new grandchild. Are you allowed to say to your mother, Ma, Mazal Tov? I thought you were going to laugh. Okay, so let me make the question real. Let me give you a real question. Your father's name is Sholem. Are you allowed to say to your father, Sholem Aleichem? Okay, are you allowed to say Sholem? Are you allowed to say Sholem? Greetings, right? Okay, we Sholem Aleichem. So, not so simple. Not so simple. Okay, this is not so simple with
Sholem. Your father's name doesn't come before Hashem's name. And Shalom, when you sing Shalom Aleichem, you're saying Hashem's name. So even your father would have to say Shalom.
Even your father?
Would have to say
Shalom. Okay, next good Shaila. Are you allowed, let's say you're in business with your parents. You're in business. You go into business, lucrative business, and it's inevitable when you go into business, what happens? You get into a fight over money. Now I want to take my father to a din Torah.
Oh boy.
Are you allowed to take your father to a bezdin, hazmana l'din Torah?
No.
What do you mean, no?
Can you take a melech to din Torah? No.
A melech you can't take because the dayanim are afraid to paskin against the melech.
No, you can't take it because there's no din Torah. It's all up shara.
The reason why you can't take a melech is because no dayan is going to want to paskin against the melech. He's afraid for his life. If I decide against the melech, he'll kill me. January 6th, all over again. I don't want this to happen. I don't want to go against. Okay, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. You know, how many people today are afraid to open their mouth. People today are terrified today to go post something online on their. They're afraid the government will come after them.
It's in
learning. Torah. Good question. So you do it shloim b'fanav. When they do the litigation, it's shloim b'fanav. Or you write the whole, or you are correct, the whole procedure of going to a bezdin, the etzem, is like you're saying, it's a contradiction. It's a lack of moira. So in other words, don't go into business with your father. Don't ever set yourself up in a financial situation where there's a possibility will you go to a din Torah because maybe you're taka not allowed. Well, it's a very big problem.
No, but let's say we're talking about two from people, father and son. They want to go to the bezdin to know what to do about something.
That's different. That's different.
They're not hurting each other.
No, that's different. That's different. That's not a shiloh. They're going for clarification. There's no contradiction. They're going for clarification. We're talking about the father is the plaintiff and the son is the defendant.
What are they pointing at? Stole from me?
Yeah. Yeah. The father stole money. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry I didn't clarify. What else is the Din Torah all about? You're a ganav. Every Din Torah is the first word. You want to go, we should go one day and sit in the bezin and get some shemush. What goes on? You'll need the earplugs for all the curse words.
So how did he call his father a ganav to begin with?
What? Okay, so that's private. You know, ain't a doymer. Going to Bezin is a public thing. Everyone knows about it. What goes on behind closed doors, so you're in violation of Kibbutz Avoim, you don't speak disrespectfully to your father privately, fine. But you go to Bezin, Ad Kedei Kach, Hazman L'Din Torah. Woohoo! Are you allowed to do that? Is the whole institution of Bezin something which is Kineged Kol HaTorah Kula with regard to Kibbutz Avoim? So, surprise, it's a Brit Shulchan Aruch. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch, and the halach is you're allowed to take your father to a Din Torah. It's permitted. You're allowed to take your father to a Din Torah. Why isn't that against what it says in Shulchan Aruch? I don't think it says a reason. It just says you're allowed to take your father a Hazman L'Din Torah. It's permitted. In court, obviously, in court, but there are certain rules. Rabbi Sai, come on, please. There are certain guidelines, though, a whole Shulchan Aruch of how Bezdin deals with the father and son who are fighting. Number one, there's a general rule that you have to go to the Bezdin, the one that makes the decision, which Bezdin you go to generally is the defendant. So if Reuven accuses Shimon, you're a ganef. You're a ganef. So the rule is you go to the Bezdin of Shimon. The defendant has home team advantage. I don't know all the parameters. It's very complicated how you select the Bezdin, Zeh Bar Lo Echad. It's very complicated. I do not know this. But generally speaking, as a general rule, when there's a Din Torah, the defendant, the halacha is in Shulchan Aruch, he has a little bit of the upper hand. He gets what we'll call home team advantage. Okay, whatever that means, it means. I don't know exactly what it means, but it means he gets a little bit home team advantage. In Shulchan Aruch, it says that when the father takes a son to a din Torah, when the son takes a father to a din Torah, the son says, "Dad, you're a ganef. You stole from me $1 million. I'm now sending a hazbezdin. They're going to send you a hazmana l'din Torah. We're going to go through the whole procedure. I'm taking you. You get the defendant. You owe me $1,000. You stole from me $1,000. Under ordinary circumstances, oh no, so this case is okay. Because in this case, so the father is the defendant, so Taka. So then you go to the Bezdin. The father has home team advantage. Let's say it's the other way around, where the father says to his son, "My son, I love you, but you're a ganef." And we're now going to go to a din Torah. I'm taking you to a din Torah. What are you going to learn from the bed? I don't get it. I got to think about that. Okay, fine. I get it now. I'm taking you to a din Torah. Hazman al din Torah. So the father is accusing the child of being a ganef.
Has that ever happened?
Maisim b'chol yoyim. The father accuses the son of being a ganef or going to a din Torah. So under ordinary circumstances, who would have home team advantage?
The son.
He is the defendant. Shulchan Aruch, not in this case. Being that your father is the one that's accusing you, taking you, the father gets home team advantage. Midin kibud avoim. Okay, that's a tremendous chiddush. Okay, now, what is called home team advantage? We have to define that in Shulchan, what it means. What?
How does that still help the contradicting the father?
It doesn't. That you're never going to avoid. That you can't avoid. You have to understand the reason why there's no problem of going to the bed is because Kibbutz Avoim generally, it's not a simple thing, generally is with the mamon of the father. You're generally not obligated to spend your own money on Kibbutz Avoim. Kibbutz Avoim, Me'ikar Hadin, doesn't cost anything. It's a free mitzvah. Lulav and Esther, you have to pay money. You got to pay money. To build a sukkah, you got to pay money. To do almost every mitzvah, to buy a pair of tefillin, $2,000. A good pair of tefillin, at least $2,000 to buy a good pair of tefillin. Mitzvahs are expensive. Me'ikar hadin, kibud av v'em is free. You don't have to spend one penny. Time. Food? I'm not paying for the food. It's the father's food. The father will give me his credit card. I'll go buy. I'll spend the time buy the food. Oh, I'm going to lose my job. We have to discuss that. That's you may taka be mechuyev to lose your job because losing money you might be mechuyev to do, but to spend your own money you're not mechuyev. Now that's a very dangerous statement because it's not really true. Shulchan Aruch says that if the father does not have money, you're a day all these things, then you are mechuyev to spend money, and in fact. All of your tzedakah, if a person has tzedakah money, all of that, the tzedakah doesn't start, all that money first goes to kibud av v'em. And if there's anything left over, then you can go give tzedakah. So it's not 100% true, but generally speaking, kibud av v'em was meant to be a free mitzvah, where you don't have to spend one penny. Therefore, if you have a situation with you and your father, and there's a machlokes over money, you can take him to court. Because that's not part, if I'm going to suffer a loss, that it's not required because I am correct, there's no kibud av v'em. Kibud av v'em does not demand that you should lose money. That's shaloi kedin. Shaloi kedin. That's why you're allowed to take your parent to a din Torah. It's not a violation. But still, there has to be derech eretz. Some say that when there is a dispute in the court, they should not argue. There's a different set of rules in Bezdin, father and son. They're not allowed to argue in front of each other. There should be separation between the two so that there should not be an open hachosha. It's a very severe portion of kibud av v'em is not to contradict one another. So when they present their argument, it should not be one of them. Okay, no quick shiloh. What about shidduchim? Controversial questions. Your parents say, you marry this woman, I cut you out of my will. Okay? Or let's say the child says, the parents say, I don't want you to go learn Eretz Yisrael. No. I don't want you to learn here. Or it comes to, I want you to daven in the late minyan, the 9 o'clock minyan, I want you to miss Zman Kriya Shema. It's miss Zman Kriya Shema. I want you to daven in my shul, but we talk the whole davening nonstop, and don't go to your minyan where they don't say a word. No. A child has no mitzvah to be mekayim, to listen to his parents when it comes to shidduchim, when it comes to learning, when it comes to even hidurim in learning. No, absolutely, because the father is getting nothing from this. This is all about you. The kibud av v'em is what you do. All falls back to that. You say what you do for your father. Your marriage, your learning, your mitzvahs, that's not him. Same thing, mother is same exact thing. Same, in fact, mother is more chomor because a mother is a vadai. A father is only a suffix. A father is only Roy Bil Zachabal, yeah. That, right, the first, this it's your mitzvah. Your mitzvah comes first. Right, yeah, first he's eligible to get married. And if he's going to go take care of his parents, he's not going to be able to get married. It's a davar pashut. Davar pashut, you get married first, and then. Are you allowed to move away from your parents for no reason whatsoever?
No reason.
It's a fair shulchan aruch. No, we're not talking about, I need a job, my wife is going to kill me. You go to the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, that overrides 100%. But let's say you're going to Lakewood. I want to move to Lakewood for no good reason. It's just more fun. There's no better. I don't have a better job there. I don't have learning there. It is usur. It is usur. The Rav Yasha gives a mashal. You know what it's like? It's like a person. He builds a beautiful sukkah for sukkahs, and the whole sukkahs he spends in the house or in the street. You have an opportunity in the kind of mitzvah of sukkah, and instead you go into the street, into the house. Go. You build a sukkah. You have parents. The mitzvah is to be with the parents. If you have no good reason to leave your parents, you're not allowed to move out of the neighborhood, not to be near your parents, unless they give you explicit permission. Okay, another question is, what about shalom bayis? My wife says to me, if I go one more time to my parents, she's divorcing me. So my parents, so my what is the Misa Deraisa? My father, come visit me, come help me, feed me, dress me, be mechabed me. And the wife says, you go to your parents. I'm getting a locksmith, you're not coming back. Who do you listen to? Your wife. And this is unbelievable because over here it's mamish, the parent wants direct benefit. The parent wants food, he wants clothing, he wants direct benefit. And the wife says, you go to him, it's over. Your shalom bias comes before kibud avoim. Why? Mitzvah shebegufai. First, you have to, that you come first. You come first before the mitzvah of kibud avoim. All right, stop here. Amen. Amen. Remember my name.